Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
On today's episode of All the Shit I've Learned Abroad, we're going to do a 2022 travel check-in. After spending the last 2 years pretty much stagnant with not really being able to travel a whole lot because of COVID, obviously, we've been back on the road and also in the sky and making up for lost time. So we've referenced a lot of our travels over the last few weeks in some of our episodes, but we thought today we'd do a deep dive into what we've been up to so far this year. So let's get into it. Hey, we have our cameras on today.
Yeah, I can see you.
Any longtime listeners will know that Steph and I, the majority of our episodes, we do with the cameras off because we are like, thank God Steph and I actually never went to school together, because we would have been those two people like in the classroom just staring at each other, like trying to make each other laugh. Yeah. And this is what we do. So sometimes, I don't know, we just decided today we just wanted to
see your face.
I wanted to look into your eyes while we while we record this episode
in anticipation of being together.
I know,
in a week or yeah. two.
This is exciting. Steph and I are going to see each other twice in 1 year. This rarely happens. I think on average we see each other like once every 2 years, which is crazy. Yeah. It doesn't feel like it because not only do we do this podcast together, but we are constantly in each other's inboxes. I know everything Steph is doing at every given moment.
Fact.
Everything. Like, literally yeah. everything. And, yeah, so for those of you wondering if Steph and I are actually best friends in real life, we are. We are.
Yeah. I actually wasn't going to be home when you were going, because you're going for a wedding and to meet your new baby.
My new baby.
So guys, I was going to say nephew or niece, and then I realized I didn't actually know and said baby.
So guys, I've had a baby, but he's over in Canada. No, I've got a brand new baby nephew. And yes, the timing okay. could not have been more perfect with my friend's wedding as well. So it's yeah. like two birds, one stone. So thank you, little baby Brennan, my new nephew, who came
and then,
yeah, yes. at the right time.
And then I purposely just booked to be home to see you.
Well, I mean, it made sense. I said to Steph, like, you're in the U.S. You're literally on the same
continent. That's where we're at.
Which rarely happens. So, yeah. So, I'm excited. We're going to do, and we're both going to be, like, in our hometown, which is going to be hilarious, because doing stuff yeah. in our hometown is funny.
Brantford,
Ontario. After you've left, it's funny. And so, we're going to hit up all the bars, I'm sure. See some old friendly faces from high school.
Great. Can't wait.
It's going to be good.
Yes. So we're both overlapping our travels, which is fantastic. And for this week, we really just thought we would do sort of a travel check-in.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, we had 2 years of pandemic content or trying to create content during a pandemic, where now it's like we're on the move, our listeners are on the move, there's so much happening after a standstill that yeah. it's like we've made so many references in episodes lately to like I've been in Greece, I've been in Israel, I've been in the States, and it's like
There's no context. Yeah. Yeah. And we've literally done, like, we've gone from zero to 180. Like, traveling, I don't know if we're making up for lost time, but, like, it's, like, every few weeks. Either of us are, like, getting on a plane or getting in the car, going away somewhere. And it's, I mean, I'm exhausted, but in a good way. In a good way.
Yeah.
So Canada, I think, is going to be, well, I say this, it's going to be my last trip of the year. But my friend and I are now talking about Turkey.
I think you're full of it. It's only August.
I know. So we'll see. We might add Turkey to the list. But yeah, as Steph said, we thought we would just do a check-in. Talk about what we've been up to. Just with each other, but also to let our listeners know what we've been doing. If, you know, again, you guys follow us on social media and you probably see, I mean, I'm such a social media whore. I will post everything I'm doing. whereas Steph, I feel like you're not as much. You're more into the stories. I'm more into the posts.
I don't post much, oddly enough. But same thing. Yeah. Anyone who follows me, I've been on the road for months now in the States.
So let's talk about you. What will you have been road tripping again. Like, I feel like you're the queen of road tripping. And
I love driving.
Yeah. Like you, I love road tripping with you because I don't have to drive. I don't really enjoy driving. I am a much better, we've said this before, I'm a better passenger.
Yeah.
You're a better driver. And it works well for us.
Well, I'll tell you, because I've met up with friends along the way who live over here, and I had one friend road tripping with me, and I was like, she was like on her phone the whole time, texting the whole time, and I was kind of driving, and I had to check myself, but I was like, your responsibility as the passenger is content. Like, why aren't you getting good photos?
You are the this is where Steph and I know. I'm the content creator. I take the photos. I take the videos. I capture all the elements that Steph cannot do because she has her hands at 10 and 2.
I have to drive safely.
Most of the time. But yeah.
I was getting so low-key annoyed because I like road tripping with you. The lines are very clear who's responsible for what.
Oh, we have this like written out like a job description. Like, I know what Steph does, which is basically driving and navigating. I'm not a good navigator, I'm a terrible navigator. So Steph can... You are very good at doing both driving and, I mean, now we have obviously like sat navs and whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm responsible for the content and the entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. So can't wait to see you again. And we'll have to get in the car just to go for a drive
because
I've missed you and that role.
I can't wait. I can't wait for you to drive over more medians. Do you know what's actually funny now that I've just said this? This was, I'm actually just going to just quickly mention when I was recently in Israel.
Yeah.
I went to Israel for work. And do you remember, so when we were in Canada, our last day of our road trip, driving to the airport, and Steph drove over a highway median.
Yeah, it was covered in snow.
It. We almost smashed up our rental car. And I stayed.
It was pretty bad.
Very calm. But can I just say, on my drive from the airport in Israel to my hotel at 2 o'clock in the morning, I also got into a car accident when a car drove over the median from the other side of the highway. And I've just like thought, like, how has this happened twice in a year?
Oh, what is that movie?
Fatal Attraction? What?
No, I want to say Fatal Attraction, but that definitely Final Destination. I don't know.
I was thinking the same. Anyways, but yeah, why? Oh my God. So
it was just meant to happen, and we got away with it.
Well, but bad things happen in threes. So does this mean that I'm going to have one more accident somewhere in like Canada?
No, because we didn't have an accident.
We didn't, but I'm just saying, there seems to be some connection here with people driving over medians and when I'm around. I don't know.
I think that just means you shouldn't get behind the wheel anywhere.
Maybe.
Then that would be your third time.
Okay, fine. All right. So anyways, continuing. So you're in the U.S.
Yes, I've been here. I originally came over for work in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I had a work event I was running in June, which we've talked about. And I just decided to extend. I think this would be a good time to remind people that, like, travel bloggers, travel podcasters, especially influencers, it's always just the highlight reel that you get of the good stuff.
Yeah.
Because I came over here to kind of, like, I'm going through a fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
Having a hard time. So I figured being on the road and at least exploring this would be the best.
This is like your therapy. When Steph's, yes, like, on the road with her, like,
country music
on, which I will tolerate to a certain degree when I'm with Steph. But yeah, she's in her elements.
Yeah, it's been the days I'm driving, I'm just like living. So it's been great. I'd never, back in 2017, I did a major road trip where I saw almost every U.S. state, and Utah and Colorado were two of the ones I really hadn't spent much time in. So I thought, you know what, I'm over here, I'm right next door, essentially. I will do those two states. And I've been spending a good chunk of time in Utah and Colorado, exploring Salt Lake City, the national parks, Denver. I'm currently in Colorado Springs. That's where we're recording from now. And yeah, I think it's just been good for me mentally to be on the road.
Yeah. And what's been like the highlight?
I'm going to say the national parks. I'd never, oddly enough, been to a U.S. national park, which in hindsight now, I don't understand why I didn't do that on my previous trip.
Yeah.
Because the one thing people forget is, you know, when we think of the states right now, it's so many. You think of, like, the politics, the social issues going on, and the fighting. And one thing you really forget is the states is one of the most beautiful countries I've ever traveled.
Yeah.
And every state is so different. So I genuinely have moments where, you know, I cross the border into another state and the landscape starts changing and my jaw drops and I'll say, oh my God, out loud.
Yeah. Like, where am
I? So beautiful.
Yeah.
So it's been really good having those moments, and the national parks definitely do that. Like, I went to Moab and I went to Arches National Park. I'd never seen anything like it there.
Where is that? In
Utah.
In Utah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was on the way to Colorado and I wasn't even planning on going there. And this is the best part about road trips and making it up as you go. I knew I had 2 days and I just thought I'd drive straight to Grand Junction, which is just across the border of Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw a sign that said Moab and I knew I'd heard of it. And I just turned and drove in and got a hotel once I was in the town. And then kind of like read everything about the national park and did it in the morning and nailed it, shall I say.
Well, and this is the best part sometimes about not planning too much, because we always talk about how, I don't know, we're somewhere in the middle. We're not the best planners. Depending on the type of trip, I might do a bit more planning. But like, this is why I do like to be spontaneous, because you can just kind of end up, like, it's kind of the same with me when I just sometimes feel the need to hop on a plane in Europe. And again, as we know, it's easy to do that. And I just look at a place and go, I've never been here. That flight's cheap. I'm going to go there, see what happens, which I've done in a lot of places. And, you know, I'm always very surprised when I get there. Yeah, I love that.
I will say I've had the most hilarious time because I had to rent a car for my whole time here. Obviously, it's very hard to get around in the States without one.
Yeah.
And I rented a Toyota Camry, and when I went to the budget office to pick it up, the guy was like, he's like, we got the Mustang convertible. Do you want that? I was like, yes, please.
Yeah. You're living like, this is like a Hollywood film for you. This is your Hollywood moment.
It's funny though, because I drive around and I'm blaring my country music and I feel like I'm this like country girl, which I'm not at all. I grew up in a town of 100,000 people.
I mean, we grew up, you know, near farms.
Well, when you move to London and Melbourne, Brantford starts to feel like country.
You grew up on a farm.
Mentally, I'm just a country girl from the sticks.
You're just a little country bumpkin.
And but yet at the same time, I'm driving through Utah blasting country music in a Ford Mustang convertible with the roof down with California plates.
Oh my God,
and I'm like,
I love this.
I do not look like a country girl at all.
You have a thing with convertibles, though. This is when Steph and I were younger, she drove a LeBaron.
Chrysler LeBaron convertible.
First car. We used to cruise around in that car all the time. We'd like there'd be like six girls in that car and like all blondes, and we'd like be driving around listening to like Christina Aguilera. That's when Steph was in her pop phase. Now she's in her country phase.
Can't hold us down.
I can't wait for you to get into like your heavy metal phase. I give it like 10 more years.
That's
and
not
Steph's going to be into like death metal, like Swedish death metal, and she'll be driving around in like some convertible on like her next road trip listening to like Pantera and Slayer. I see this for you in your future, Steph.
I think that's what we would call a midlife crisis.
Maybe.
I'll be 47 at that point.
I would love to see this. And I feel like that is when our music preferences will start to align a little bit more.
I don't see this happening. Yeah, the rental car has been so funny because I've had so many lessons learned, I've got to tell you. Like,
tell me.
Even from when I went to pick it up, and I was in Southern California when I went to get it, and I had an appointment to pick it up at 2 p.m. I had to pay 50 US bucks to Uber to the appointment. Got there at 2:05 on a Saturday. They closed at 2.
Oh, God.
And I was literally, with the exchange rate, it was almost a $100 cab ride to get there. And then I'm standing outside in this, like, 40-degree heat, kind of trying to find, there was one other location that was open till 4 p.m. And I had to catch a $75 Uber to that location to get there 15 minutes before they closed because it was so far away.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was wild.
I mean, this is like the rental, like when we went to drop our rental car off in Canada, where we had an early morning flight. We're like, oh, can we even drop it off? Is it open?
But like, a drop off, at least drop off is easy. You can drop the keys.
Well, we didn't know that at the time. We also learned that, didn't we? Where we're like, oh, we can just drop them at the.
No, I've dropped keys a bunch of times before. You just leave the car and drop the key. But
I can't remember what
up,
our
you're screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but that worked out. Then I got the Mustang, picked it up, was like, yeah, this is sick. Got back to where I was staying, got my suitcase. My suitcase is physically bigger than the dimensions of the trunk.
So you couldn't even fit. How big is your suitcase?
It's a big one because I was coming over here for months. So I brought my biggest suitcase and a
Ford
Mustang convertible.
Can I just say, this is so funny because I remember when you traveled around the world for like almost 2 years with like the smallest backpack I had ever seen. And I had to bring you clothes when I met up with you in Egypt. Steph's like, can you bring me any like cute dresses that maybe you don't want anymore? I'm like, yeah, fine. And I basically brought her like a new wardrobe and she discarded all of it. But so yeah, I don't get it how you're in a car traveling around with a massive suitcase, but yet you can travel around the world to like 50 different countries.
Keep in mind, I was coming over for work. So I have like high heels, tons of work clothes, suits, stuff like that too. That I
not just like flip flops and tank tops, which is usually what you pack. That's the extent of it. And tights.
Every time I go to go anywhere, I have to go out, drop the roof down, hoist the luggage up and over into the car, and then put the roof back up to even be able to get around. And Andrea, I don't even know if I've told you this. I, the other day, was leaving where I was staying in Denver, went out, hoisted it in, did my thing I do every day, sat down and went to drive away. And I'm like, wow, it smells like shit here. Looked down and I physically had shit all over my romper.
Did you shit yourself?
I questioned it for half a second.
What did you eat? Oh my God. What is they say the food in the US is sometimes a bit questionable.
So obviously I got out of the car, looked at the back seat. There was shit all over the leather seats of the convertible in the back.
Oh God.
And what happened was when I wheeled my bag out, someone must have not picked up after their dog. And I wheeled my suitcase through dog shit.
Oh, and dog shit stinks. I mean, any shit
horrible.
Stinks, obviously. But
it was horrible. I had to, obviously, I went in and changed right away. But then I was out there cleaning the car, and there's those little, you know how leather seats have millions of dots in them? Oh, I spent hours cleaning this car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's hard to get, like, a stinky smell out of a car as well. Like if somebody like throws up in a car, as somebody, I'll put my hands up, that has thrown up in a taxi before. This is why taxis charge you a lot of money if that happens. And I did that when I was like 16, before anybody comments. All right. It was like over 20 years ago.
Well, I totally understand the fee now because it was unreal, the level of detail. So then, yeah. And then I decided, because I'm in Colorado, I decided I don't want to drive back to LA for my flight to Canada. I just don't know. I used to live in this world of like my flight was my flight. My pickup and drop off for the car was what it was. And now I'm just like, nah, I'm going to fly out of somewhere else.
Loosey goosey. Like,
I've just realized how companies will accommodate you. I was just such a rule follower.
No, I think even like we talk about airlines and I don't know. We always have this idea like even airlines will not let you change things or whatever. And like it's not true at all. And as long as you book direct through the airline. Actually, it's so funny because I'm sort of going on off on a tangent, but I saw a post today in one of the Facebook groups I'm part of it for Canadians over in the UK, and somebody was going on about how they'd booked a flight with one of the airlines, but they booked it through Expedia, and Expedia is great for finding deals or whatever, and then they needed to change something and they were like, oh, WestJet, the airline, they won't let me change it, I'm like, this is exactly why you always book direct through the airline. Yeah. And if you do, I found anytime I need to make changes or even like cancel flights, most airlines are pretty good. Well, they'll let you change it. Or like, rental car companies, like they will accommodate you.
Well, I just, so, because my flight was with Air Canada to go to Denver and to change it was going to be like $375 US. And I thought, that's ridiculous. And I had $200 credit with United. So I just found a flight with United and I paid 100 Canadian for the fare difference. And I called Air Canada and just said, hey, I'm not going to be making my outbound flight.
Did they give you a credit?
No, because that one was booked through a travel agency. Someone else paid for that flight. But the travel agency were a little snotty about it. They were like, they're going to cancel your entire flight if you're a no-show. And I'm like, actually, I spoke to Air Canada. They were pretty accommodating.
Yeah.
So I'm just flying out of United and I had to call the rental car company and negotiate. We talked about this in our winter road trip episode, a one-way drop-off fee.
Yeah.
So essentially I have to pay $500 US to drop it off at the Denver airport instead of driving it back to LAX. But LAX is 1,600 kilometers away, so factor in a couple nights hotel, all the gas, all the food, what I'd spend. I'd spend way more than $500 driving back, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's where it comes in, where you have to be, I think when you're traveling, like, it's great to have a plan, but you also just have to be a little bit loose. And this is why, you do the things where you do book direct with airlines or if you do want to make changes, because
and since I'm dropping the car off early, I'm actually saving $500 that I won't be paying for the car rental, so I'm fine with it because mentally I'm still spending what I thought I would spend.
You're staying within budget. Well, that's good.
Speaking of budget,
do you know
what's been a game changer on this road trip that I've never done before? We talk every year about trying new ways of travel or doing something new. I, for the very first time, am using trustedhousesitters.com.
Yes. I have heard so much about this. As somebody that owns two cats, and I usually, for the most part, I always have people, I have neighbors and a friend of mine, generally will look after the cats while I'm away. But yeah, people have mentioned Trusted House Sitter to me where they're like, hey, if you couldn't find, like, for whatever reason, if your friends or neighbors couldn't look after them, you could actually just have somebody stay in your place and look after the cats and house it.
It is the most mutually beneficial site that I've ever come across. Essentially what it is, for anyone who doesn't know, is you go on, there is a sign-up fee. And actually, after we post this episode, I'll post a link to our Twitter and on Facebook for anyone who might be interested so that you can get a chunk of money off if you want to sign up. There is a sign-up fee, and the reason for that is because, A, they verify your identity. They do government checks. You get liability insurance for while you're staying at someone else's house, and you have 24 access to an entire network of veterinarians.
Okay.
So if the pets you're sitting for at all have any concerns or issues, you can call and speak to a vet 24 hours.
That's where I would be really, because as anyone that does know me and my cats, I am like a crazy cat lady. I've turned into one of those where they are my, they're my babies. And I would be very nervous about just leaving them with random people. Can you do reviews on there as well? Like you leave, they get reviews of
100%. So, most people do also leave their specific vet information and say, if anything happens, I've already spoken to my vet. You can take it right there and they'll charge me. Like they'll bill me. Like, so, but yeah, there's definitely reviews. I have tons of reviews from people I've sat for. The people I sit for have reviews. So it's been pretty great. And
it's free accommodation.
So essentially, yeah. And that's what I meant by mutually beneficial. Yeah. So it's free accommodation for me. I have no accommodation costs on this trip other than if I want to book in at a hotel for some nights. And they aren't paying for house sitters.
Yeah.
So I, you know, house sat a 13-year-old dog in Denver who literally just needed to be fed and let out. Yeah. That was it.
Well, that's the thing. Like
for
pets,
10 days.
Pet sitters are not cheap. I don't know what it's like in Australia, Canada. Not but cheap. Again, as somebody that has two cats, I have looked into pet sitters in my area. And they're like, they range between like 15 to 25 pounds a day for them to come and just come for about half an hour. Feed your cats, maybe play with them a bit. And the thing is with my cats, like, they're pretty, like, standoffish with people until they get to know them. So I always think, like, I'm just paying someone to come over where my cats are going to hide under the bed anyways the whole time for them just to leave out some food. Like, I have an automatic feeder that I could, like, leave them for a few days. But my point is, yeah, it's not cheap. And I would much rather let somebody actually stay here, which...
The cats would get more comfortable.
The cats, yeah. They would
get attention, too.
Yeah, and somebody's in my place. Like, if I were to go away for a couple weeks, I would rather somebody be here to look after and water my plants. Like, just things like that. It's such a good mutual...
It's brilliant, because I literally wake up earlier than I actually normally would, because the dogs... Where I am right now, there's two dogs. Yeah, and I feed them, let them out. I do water. They have a vegetable garden here, so I water that. And then I can leave the dogs during the day, and I just have to be sure to be back in the evening to feed them, let them out again. But I walk them, and it's great. And what's been interesting that I didn't expect is that, A, I'm getting up earlier. So it's actually been really good for a routine I probably wouldn't have had otherwise.
Yeah.
But then it's for, because I have to be back in the evening for them again, I'm actually doing more with my day.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, I have to get this in because I have to go back.
Yeah.
So it's been fantastic. And also, of course, like, it's just cheaper. I'm cooking for myself more.
Yeah. That's always good when you are traveling somewhere and you have a kitchen. Like, food costs are always, you know, what actually eats up your budget. And you get sick of eating out all the time. Like, I know when I've traveled long... Sort of more long-term, what's the word I'm looking for?
I just remember when you and I went to Iceland, because in Iceland, they can't grow a lot of vegetables.
No.
And potatoes. Especially during the winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can pretty much grow root vegetables. That's it. And by the end of the trip, you and I were like, we just need a vegetable. And there was a Quiznos who clearly imported their lettuce.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We were like, this is the first real vegetable.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
cuddly.
Yeah, yeah, let it, yeah, that's right.
Whereas here, like, house sitting, everyone's super cool. They're like, help yourself to whatever you want. Mm. And obviously, I don't want to eat, like, their main things. But I'm, like, cooking and getting creative. And here they have a massive vegetable garden. So they're like, you know, take whatever you want out of the garden.
But that's the nice thing when you are in accommodation. Like, when I was in Santorini this year, so I went to Santorini. I think I've mentioned it before. But we wanted to book, like, you know, you can stay in the really, like, sort of picturesque, Instagram-worthy places in, like, Ia, which is... That's if you look at Santorini on Instagram, that's what you see. It's a little place called Ia, and it is so expensive to stay. They're the ones that have, like, the cave pools and all that.
Yeah.
And we were like, we want to stay in, like, a nice villa with a kitchen.
Yeah.
Because Santorini isn't cheap. Like, it's not cheap there. And we're like, we want to cook. And so we did. So we booked a place that was more, it wasn't, like, the cheapest place, but we had this, like, beautiful kitchen. And, like, dining room that we actually cooked the majority of our meals, and we only ate out a few times, and it actually saved us. Like, when I look at what we actually spent, I think we saved a ton versus if we'd stayed in one of these, like, boutique hotels, but we had to eat out three times a day, we would have been spending so much more money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that, and that's what even, you know, people say to me often, like, how do you travel, like, for so long? That's so, like, it's still not obviously cheap. The rental car itself is costing me the equivalent of what rent would be in Melbourne every month.
But you learn how to stretch a budget, and you put your money into what's going to be important. Or, I mean, we even talked about it in last week's episode, like, business traveling, like, a lot of that, you know, if you're business traveling, like, a lot of that stuff's going to be paid for by your company. So you could look at, you know, the money you do have, and again, like, you know, upgrading to a business class, like, if you've got the spare money, and you, if, you know, that's something that you want to try out, do it. But it's looking at your budget and going, where can I actually save something to spend more on this area?
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's why I think Trusted House Sitters has been amazing. Because when you don't have accommodation costs on the road for months.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
Yeah. Accommodation and food.
That's a game changer.
Accommodation and food. Like, eating out every day, which, again, I get sick of by the end of a trip. Like, I'm like, I just want to go home and cook some pasta and put butter on it. Like, just something so basic, because you get tired of it eating out, and it's just... Yeah, so if you have somewhere you can stay for free with a kitchen that you can cook your own meals, why not? Yeah. And if it means that you have to feed a cat or water a plant, like, fine.
Yeah.
Like, the payoff is actually, it's more beneficial. You're getting more benefit in this than, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know, because, again, pet sitters are not cheap nowadays.
Like, again, and I find it's pretty similar to, you know, the way I would use couch surfing. Because my ethos, I guess, when I travel is always to leave a place better than you found it. So my Denver house sit, the woman, the airport was like 40 minutes away. It wasn't far geographically. It's just driving across Denver. And so I dropped her and her kids off at the airport and picked them up. So they didn't have to drive out there, pay for the car, airport parking all week. Like, she was like, this is amazing. Like, my profile, I've said it before and I'll say it again, if I ever die at my funeral, just read my couch surfing and Trusted House Sitters reviews, because they are the best of me.
Well, and also, because I am giving your obituary. Steph has told me this for years.
My eulogy,
or is that the same thing? Eulogy.
Obituary is what you put in the paper.
Oh, right. Well, that's fine.
You can write that too.
I'll put that in the paper. It'll be like, okay,
excellent.
It'll be good. But no, you're
Brantford Expositor. This bitch died.
Steph's dead. But yeah, your eulogy. Yeah, Steph's always told me I have to be the one to
eulogize me.
Eulogize? Yeah. I don't even know. Anyways, don't worry. I will pull up your review. I'm going to pull up all your couch surfing and, like, Trusted House Sitter reviews. Yes, 100%.
And you'll be like, I don't know who they met.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I don't know if I agree with this one.
So I'm going to put a link to this, to Trusted House Sitters online, if anyone's interested in checking it out. The cost of it is about the equivalent of a one night stay in a hotel. So
Okay.
It's hard to go wrong.
I think I'll be honestly the one bringing people in at some point. Like, yeah, I'll have someone stay here. I feel like at some point, because my poor neighbors that live upstairs, I've been gone so much this year that I have asked them, oh, they're the loveliest couple, but they only moved in last year. And we got to know each other. They were like, if you're ever away, let us know. We can look after the cats. I'm like, wow, you're going to regret this. And sure enough, this year, I've been gone so much that I feel like every other week I'm messaging them like, hey, can you look after the cats?
Hey.
Yeah. And I'm starting to feel like maybe I'm asking too much of them. So I feel like I need to look at maybe, you know, this site.
Yeah, it is brilliant. So, and on this trip, I've gone now, not just Utah and Colorado. I've done a lot of New Mexico, way more of Arizona than I ever did before. And just had a brilliant time. And I usually advocate for couch surfing, which I've used a lot in my life and I love. But with couch surfing too, you have to be on a little bit because you're staying with someone. And a lot of times they want to entertain you or show you their town. And sometimes you just want to not have to be on.
I think this is why I've never tried couch surfing because I am, I think, more of an introvert. Again, as I always say, I'm an extroverted or introverted extrovert. I can't remember, but like, I like my own space, especially with, I mean, if it's you or my sister or whatever, like, that's fine. I don't care if we're in each other's business. But, like, people I don't know, like, we could talk about the whole sharing beds thing or sharing rooms. We know how I feel about that. But, like, being in a stranger's home and then, like you said, feeling like you have to act, you know, they want to show you something. You're like, oh, amazing. Like, and if you don't actually care, it's like, oh, it's exhausting. Like, this is probably why I've never done it.
Yeah. No, so, and this has been good because I'm in Colorado Springs right now and I'm at that point. I've been on the road for over 2 months now where I've hit that point where I just wanted to nothing for a little bit. Like, so when I got to Colorado Springs, I knew I was kind of over sightseeing because I've been go. So I booked an off-roading Jeep tour. I also don't often do tours.
Yeah.
But I booked an off-roading Jeep tour where I'll do Pikes Peak and Garden of the Gods, which is a big thing here down in Colorado Springs. And I just decided, I'm like, you know what? A, I invested in it. Mm-hmm. It was not a cheap experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what? If that's all I do there, I'm actually happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to I will check out some microbreweries that are here and look really good. I'm going for a massage today. Like, I'm just enjoying that downtime and working.
Slow travel. We talked about this. We're going to do an episode all about slow travel at some point.
Yes,
but
we will.
But slow travel. I think, I'm not going to get into much detail on that, but that's what you're doing right now. And we're all about that slow travel lifestyle now that we're a bit older, you know, we got to take it easy.
Yeah.
So
gotta watch these knees.
Yeah. I feel like I need to do more of the slow travel. I think I've done a little bit of it this year, but a lot of my trips this year have not been slow travel. They've been like a lot of business trips, which we talked about in our last episode and like maximizing those. Going away for like my friend's bachelorette or hen do party. They call it a hen do over here. So it's been good, but I've been go. And I mean, where have I gone? So I mean, I've talked about Santorini. That was a nice slow travel, you know, experience where we did, as I said, we booked a villa. We just had some chill time and it was nice just to like sit by the pool and read. I mean, I think I read like 3 books. Can I just say I started reading Harry Potter?
What? That surprises me.
I know. I had the Harry Potter books when I was a kid and I never read them. And then when I was away with my friend, she was like, I got a Kindle. She was like, read the bloody Harry Potter books already because you're 30 something years old and because you've never read them. I'm like, all right, fine. This will be the trip if I'm just sitting by the pool and reading.
I love it.
Where I get into them. So I actually read 3 of them while I was there. So I'm I don't know what you call it. A Potterhead? Is that what they're called?
You're asking the wrong girl.
You've never read them either?
No.
Have you seen the films?
I actually just in 2022 watched all of them from beginning to end.
Oh, well, I'm going to read the books first and then I'm going to watch the films.
Okay. So you read Harry Potter and Santorini.
Yeah.
Where else have you been? Because I feel like you've been to a lot of places.
Yeah.
Even when we try to record, I'm always like, do you want to record this weekend? You're like, I can't. I'm in Dubai. I can't.
So I've done Dubai. Dubai has been work trips. Mm-hmm. I've been to Dubai before. Dubai is one of those places. Me personally, I don't get it. I don't understand the... What's the word I'm looking for?
Appeal.
The appeal. The appeal. Yeah. I've been once when it hasn't been work related.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know a lot of people that love going to Dubai. You've got hot weather. You've got beaches. You do have nice restaurants. You've got good entertainment. I get that aspect of it. Would I go there for fun? Probably not. But
I feel like Dubai is comparable to Paris in the way that, because the girl who does my eyebrows is currently in Paris for 2 months on her honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
And she married a very wealthy man, CEO of a global company.
Yeah.
And the things they're doing, I'm like, oh, I can get, she's going to love Paris when she comes back.
Yeah.
Because if you can afford all the really expensive stuff the whole way through,
yeah,
very different experience. And I feel like that's Dubai for some people. Like, they spend a lot on hotels, a lot on restaurants.
It's all about the hotel restaurant culture. Yeah. Like, that's what people do there, which is probably a good thing. When I do go, I'm just going with work. Who pays for my hotel? We go for dinners. So I probably actually have a really good experience, but like, just not really my thing. Yeah. But don't get me wrong, I'll definitely, like, especially in the middle of winter, if they're like, oh, you want to go to Dubai for a week to go and meet with work people, I'm like, yeah, like, sit me, like, I can go out to the pool in the morning. Like, you know, I'm not stuck in like bleak gray old London. Granted, I say that now in the summer it's basically as hot as Dubai in London. London is on, the UK is on fire right now.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively, the UK is just a absolute dumpster fire right now. But anyways, who needs Spain when you can come to the UK in the middle of, I mean, global warming, guys. It's 32 degrees right now at 5 o'clock at night. But yeah, but then Israel. Yeah. So as I mentioned, never been to Israel before. It was my first time. And I literally entered with a bang, got into a car accident.
Yeah. Well, you didn't. A car crashed into you.
A car, well, no, so there was six car pileup. We were the last one. We were the last one in the pileup. And I didn't realize how little English was spoken.
Yeah, I had that same experience in Brazil. Yeah. I assumed English would be much more common than it was.
So 2 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of a highway, major highway, standing there, smashed up cars everywhere, police, ambulance everywhere. I'm standing with my suitcase and everyone just keeps running up to me, speaking to me in Hebrew, and I'm speaking back in English and they have no idea what I'm saying. And I'm like, what do I do? It was one of those scenarios. I'm like, what am I meant to do right now? Because I need to get to my hotel. I've never been here before. Nobody speaks English, which I was so surprised of. And I just was in one of those like sort of panic modes where I'm like, do I start walking? Like, I don't know. Anyway, so finally there was a car that drove up to me and the man in the car spoke some English and he said, where are you going? And I said, Herzliya. So it's right outside of Tel Aviv, about 20 minutes. He said, yeah, get in this car. We'll take you. Well, sure enough, I just get into a random man's car. I get into a car with two stranger men. Stranger danger. And I'm like, sure, take me. And I'm sitting in the back of the car and I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Like, I just jump into a random man's car. There's two men and I'm like, and I just start.
These are the things you do when you're in shock.
When you don't know what to do.
Think rationally.
No. Yeah. And I was just like, and then I'm sitting in the back of the car. I'm like, what am I doing? And
but they took you there, right?
They did, because I was like, they could tell I was visibly upset. It had been a really long night. Honestly, like this whole accident, there was people that were actually like injured, and anyways, and the guy, I think he realized that I was freaking out because I was sitting in the back of this like stranger car, or stranger's car, and the guy driving explained in broken English that he was a taxi driver, and the guy in the passenger seat, it was his taxi, and basically what they were saying was like, come, like, I'll drop him off and then I'll drop you off. I'm like, okay, fine. So anyways, he got me to where I needed to go, but like, it wasn't, yeah, I told my, when I went into work the next day, you know, everyone was like, oh my God, thank God you're okay. But like, so many people said to me, they're like, you cannot jump into random people's cars in Israel.
You know what, though? Like, well, it's like, you're not stupid. You know that.
Yeah.
It's when you're in shock, you do things you wouldn't, like, you're not thinking rationally. So great that they said that to you. Also not helpful.
No, I'm like, well, in hindsight, I'm like, what did you want me to do at 3 o'clock in the morning? Like, you know, it was,
Start walking down a highway.
Well, and like, I thought as well, I'm like, I'm in a country, I feel like I'm in a very safe country. Like, would I have done this? I don't know. I even thought, like, if I was in the U.S., would I do this? I don't think I would have. It's weird. Like, I had those motions that kind of went through my head, and I'm like, there's probably certain places I wouldn't have done it. But in Israel, I'm like, I felt safe. Maybe I was wrong too.
I guess, I mean, everything's so situational too. Like, in the moment, it's one thing to tell people what happened, and it's quite another to be in the moment. You're making judgment calls about, and granted, there's lots of bad people in the world who can come across good. But you're making situational judgment calls that no one else can understand in the moment.
Well, and so, and when you're traveling and you're in, everything is foreign, especially if it's somewhere you've never been. If this had happened in a country I'd been at before and I knew, I don't know, like I didn't even know what the company, like, taxi name was that I was in. Like, everything was totally brand new. And you're right. You just end up doing things that you probably wouldn't normally do, even in places that you are comfortable in, which is weird because it's almost like it should be the other way around. But
well, I'm glad you're all right. I remember messaging you and you were like still on the road and I was driving. So I was like trying not to read my phone. I actually pulled over at one point because you had a lot of messages come through. And I was like, oh my God, but I'm glad you're okay. Like, that's first and foremost what always matters most.
Yeah. And this is why you need good travel insurance, guys.
Yeah. Cannot reinforce that enough.
Yeah.
Car accident in Israel. Now, post car accident, was there anything cool you loved about Israel, or was it all work for you?
Israel was basically all work.
Okay.
It was very, just structured. I didn't tack on any additional days because I just didn't have the time because I'd been away so much earlier in the year.
Have you been anywhere else this year where you were like traveling for personal, just for fun?
Well, I did. So I finally did Venice. We talked about Venice in like one of our New Year's resolution episodes a couple years ago. And I was going to go and have a romantic solo trip on my own. And then COVID hit. And so once everything opened up, I booked a flight to Venice and I did a little, I was there for, I think, about a week. I went to Venice and Florence. I had to go to Florence. Okay. It's like an hour, 2 hours on the train away. And I had a little romantic solo trip in Italy.
But did you see dolphins in the canal?
I didn't. I was hoping to see the dolphins.
We've gone back. We've gone back to pre-pandemic times. Did you do the gondola ride?
Do you know what? I did not get on a gondola. I didn't get on a gondola. I know.
That's fine.
It was one of those things. I had such a packed schedule. I actually planned a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
And the gondola ride, so it was still a little bit chilly there, but they were really expensive. And
I believe
when you kind of look around, like, there's just fucking gondolas like everywhere in the canal. And I was like, I don't really care if I actually get on the boat, like a boat, and do it. I did like a good like food tour. So like, you know, Italian food tour in the evening. We went around, tasted wines and ate some nice food. You know, I did, what else did I actually do? Just like walking around Venice. Like, I didn't feel the need. The idea of like doing a gondola ride was there, but I just didn't do it. I just never got around to doing it.
I secretly love that you didn't do it though, because I think that's a great example of sometimes when you're traveling, you do things not even necessarily because you want to, you think you have to, and sometimes those things are really expensive.
Yeah, you're right.
And I remember I messaged you. I went to Park City in Utah, which is where a lot of Olympic events were held when Utah held the Winter Olympics. And so I went to Olympic Park more so because, I thought I would see Olympic rings. And I was like, you know what? That'd be cool to see the big,
mm-hmm.
like, Olympic rings. And they don't have those there. Could have Googled that before, probably.
Mm.
But I got out, parked, and was walking around. And I remember voice noting you and being like, I don't even know why I'm here. Like, I came here because I felt like I should.
Like, I have to.
I'm like, yeah. Yeah. I was like, I actually, and at least I didn't spend any money doing it. But I was like, I don't care that the slope events were held here. Like, I don't care.
Yeah. It's like, again, we say, like, you don't have to do all the things just because everyone else says you should do it. And that's the thing. When I came back from Venice, everyone's like, oh, you didn't go on a gondola? I'm like, no. I got lots of pictures of gondolas and, you know, the picturesque mm-hmm. sort of like Venice. But I'm like, did I feel the need to get on one and spend like £50? Like, not really. It was fine. I would much rather like spend my money on nice food. I mean, I drank about 1 million Aperol Spritz. one day I was very hungover. I forgot how hungover I get from those Aperol Spritzes. But yeah, but it was beautiful. Florence as well. It was busy as well. And I was also there for Carnival. Actually, in Venice, it was one of those, again, we've done this so many times, stuff where you and I have booked something somewhere and something just happens to be on. And I feel like
Fringe Festival in Scotland.
Fringe, yeah. And so Carnival was on in Venice and it was so cool. Like people were walking around in like these old sort of like just like costumes and ball gowns and putting on shows. But it was busy. It was rammed. Like tourists were back in Venice.
I remember those pictures when you were at Carnival and I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Like that looks so cool.
No, it was good. It was a good little solo trip. And even when, so it was funny because I did Venice and Vienna this year and I keep like mixing them up all the time. So I'll be like, oh, when I was in Vienna, I went to Carnival and people are like, do you mean Venice? And I'm like, yes, but I went to both this year. So no, I also went to Vienna. So Austria had always been a country on my, I mean, every country in the world is on my like must do list, but Austria has been on my like European list for so long and I just haven't done it yet. And so we've talked about this where we really love the aspect of traveling now when you can go visit a friend and you go somewhere to actually see someone. And a really good friend of mine who works in radio, she has a show, she works in Philadelphia in the US. And she records this like music program and they were recording some of these shows in Europe where they were like interviewing a bunch of like independent bands and artists and then having them on the show. Anyway, so she was going to be in Vienna. So she messaged me and she's like, we're doing this like recording there. Do you want to come to Vienna? I'm like, yes. Like, this is how perfect is this?
How good.
This is so cool. And so I worked there. The great thing about working remotely now was that I can kind of work from anywhere. And then I spent like 4 or 5 days watching my friend do these recordings of her show. So they did the recordings in this like old broadcasting building at one of like the big sort of radio stations there, which was really cool. And I kind of feel like I got to like have this like sort of alternative Vienna experience where like, even though I walked around and saw the sights and everything, I got to do something that was quite unique, like, and going into this old broadcast building and watching these bands like perform live and my friend recording her radio show. And it was just like, I was sitting there, I'm like, how awesome is this that I'm in Europe seeing one of my really good friends from home working, doing her thing, and also ticking one of the countries and like cities off my list. It's always been there.
Yeah, I love that. And what a good tie into our last episode. Like when we recorded, I was in Vegas and I was kind of tagging along on a girlfriend's work trip, and you basically did the same thing, and we didn't even think of that when we recorded
that episode. Yeah, that's true, actually. So, yeah, when my friend Raina was, in Vienna, like, she just told me what hotel they were staying at. I booked a room there. And then otherwise, like, I just, you know, there was a group of them, and I just would hang out with them and have drinks and whatever, go watch the recordings. And I was,
was your favorite thing about Vienna?
Honestly, like, just, I think Vienna has this very, like, well, it does, like, music and sort of art scene. And it's really known for that. And so apart from being in, it's called Funkhaus, and it's like mm-hmm. the old, it's like a, basically it's almost like the BBC in the UK or the CBC in Canada. And so they, you know, so just being able to go inside and again watch these like recordings of my friend's show and just being in this old sort of building. But I also went to a music museum there, and it's just like sort of the history of like classical music. And you know, they just, you know, it's just one of those old museums where you can learn about music and sound, not even just music but sound. And like, it was one of those like very cool sort of interactive kind of museums. But anyways, it's a very cool city if you're into like music and art. But yeah, and otherwise it's just beautiful. You walk around and it's just one of those old European grand cities.
I love that. I definitely, I mean, it's still on my list, so.
Well, we can go next time you're here. Perfect. So yeah, but I mean, yeah, we've been busy little bees this year, haven't we?
Very busy, yeah. And I cannot wait to see you where we will be recording our 100th episode.
Together, which is exciting.
Very exciting. Meant to be.
Yeah, I don't know what we've got planned yet for it, but I mean, I just can't believe we're going to make it to 100 episodes. Who knew?
We've got some tricks up our sleeves. We'll have something special for the listeners, and we will see you in episode 100.
All the Shit I've Learned Abroad is a travel podcast focused on anything and everything related to travel. You can listen to us on multiple platforms, from iTunes to Google Play Music and more. And with that, please, if you have a chance, give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on. That drives us up the charts and really, really helps us out. Want to support us on Patreon? Find us over at Shit I've Learned Abroad Pod, and donations start as low as just $1. Also, if you could follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Shit Abroad Pod, and Facebook by searching All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. Thanks so much for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has 2 limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.